There were about 150 people actually left.
Out of what? What had
out
it
of
been?
A 4,000-member congregation.
Out of 4,000. And you say 150 were all that were left?
That's all that were left there to begin to build the remnant of what exists now.
Imagine a pastor being sent to resurrect a church of 4,000 members, which had only 150 members left after a split. Pastor Rodney Smothers will begin his story as we listen to Methodist Hour.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, my great Redeemer's praise.
Hello, dear friend. This is Whitney Doe inviting you to listen to Methodist Hour. We will hear the music of Mary John Wilkin and Andre Crouch, and a stimulating interview with an African-American pastor, and a timely message from the Bible by John Wolfe. Stay with us and enjoy the next half hour, won't you? Methodist Hour encourages evangelical Christianity as we reach around the world. Country music singer-writer Mary John Wilkin gives us many humorous accounts of the change Christ made when she surrendered her life to Him. Here's her country-style story, I Didn't Stop Dancing.
I didn't stop dancing, I just changed partners. I didn't stop drinking, I just changed dreams. Praise God, I'm drinking from the living water. I ain't stopped loving, I just learned what it means.
Some people think believers never have any fun. They don't know we're listening to the master's drum. Well, I haven't stopped shining, I just changed my reflection. And I ain't stopped living, Lord, I've just begun.
No, I didn't stop dancing, I just changed partners. I didn't stop drinking, I just changed dreams. Praise God, I'm drinking from the living water. I ain't stopped loving, I just learned what it means.
Left in this old world I ain't already tried. I've laughed a lot and danced a lot, lots of times I cried. But I haven't stopped running, I just changed my direction. I'm headed for heaven and I'm satisfied.
No, I didn't stop dancing, I just changed partners. I didn't stop drinking, I just changed dreams. Praise God, I'm drinking from the living water. I ain't stopped loving, I just learned what it means. I didn't stop dancing, I just changed partners. I didn't stop drinking, I just changed dreams. Praise God, I'm drinking from the living water. I ain't stopped loving, I just learned.
Let's turn now to The Upper Room, a collection of devotional thoughts by Christians from all around the world. Here is our reader, the Reverend Judy Wolfe.
Thank you, Whit. Our inspirational thought for today is entitled, God's Love is Steadfast. It is written by Jane Wilson of Texas. Jane writes, our suffering is God's suffering too. The scripture reference is Isaiah 63, verse 9. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. Seeing my son become addicted to drugs has been the most painful experience of my life. For years I prayed asking God's healing for him. My prayers were asking prayers, and many times I was angry because they were not answered the way I wanted them to be. I did not feel God's love. In church one Sunday, the minister read from Isaiah, "In all their affliction, he was afflicted." It was not the first time I had heard this scripture, but today I heard it differently. Though I was in the middle of the congregation, it was as if I were alone on a sea of love, God's love. I began to weep silently. The bitterness melted and tears of joy and healing rolled down my face. I knew then that God weeps with me in my son's addiction. We do not have to carry our suffering alone. Jesus called all who are weary and heavy burdened to come to him. When prayers are not answered our way and in our time, we need to remember that God cares and that God's love will sustain us. We are changed when we open our hearts to God's love. Our suffering is God's suffering too. May we pray. Loving God, thank you for suffering with us and for loving us even when we are not lovable. Thank you for speaking to us through the scriptures. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now it's Share Your Faith time.
It's our privilege on Methodist Hour to have with us a very handsome African-American pastor who is doing a terrific work, and we want him to tell us about it. Welcome, Dr. Rodney Smothers, to Methodist Hour.
Thank you.
It's a joy to have you with us.
It's a joy to be with you.
You're pastor of what church?
Gibbons Resurrection United Methodist Church in Brandywine, Maryland.
Brandywine, Maryland. Now, you went to that church how long ago?
7 months ago.
7 months ago. And you inherited, or you were appointed to, a church that was in trouble. Do you dare tell us the situation you walked into?
Well, the church was $6 million in debt as a result of a congregational split. They were in the middle of a building program that was uncompleted. And needless to say, that left a lot of trauma in the congregation.
I would say.
The bishop and the cabinet invited me to come and work with a remnant of people that were left in that church.
In other words, a lot of the congregation had left.
A good portion.
And how many were left? What's the size of the church you inherited?
Actually, there were about 150 people actually left.
Out of what? What had
out
it
of
been?
A 4,000-member congregation.
Out of 4,000. And you say 150 were all that were left?
That's all that were left there to begin to build the remnant of what exists now.
My, my. And so you went there and you started what you call comeback evangelism. And that church certainly needed a comeback, didn't it?
It certainly did. But you know what? It's Christ Church and God doesn't fail.
Yes.
The people that are there are committed, dedicated, wonderful people of God. And they've been working with me and we've been having an exciting time at experiencing God's graceful comeback.
God's graceful comeback, full of grace.
Exactly.
Well, tell us a little more in detail what's happening. You love to preach, I'm sure.
Love to preach. And they're good people to preach to and with. They're
yes.
A loving group of people. Of course, we've been working on the financials. We've been building ministry. We've been reclaiming what it means to be the Church of Christ. And we're experiencing growth. We're experiencing the vitality of like being a new congregation, really.
Yes, it was almost like starting a new church.
Absolutely.
And it had been an enormous church prior to that.
Absolutely.
And but you have a big sanctuary, a big house of worship, I guess, sitting there.
Yes, we do.
And it looks mighty empty, you know, compared to what it used to be.
But it's full of spirit.
Full of spirit. Love. That's the important thing, isn't it?
That's important.
And when the spirit is there, then it's catching. It's like a fire.
That's
like
true.
A flame. And when people come into that atmosphere.
Right. And we've done things in worship to adjust the worship setting so that it feels intimate. Though it's a large building, you don't feel overtaken by the building because of the style of worship and the way the people respond to one another.
Yes. Now, you said a moment ago that you're growing. Tell us about that. You're growing in numbers, I presume, and growing spiritually.
Sure. One of the things that we did when we went there was to begin to look at our traditional church school models, begin to implement small group ministries of outreach and mission, And of course, when you're touching people's needs, then the result is growth. Plus, people are feeling good about themselves. They're inviting people to church. So we're experiencing growth across the board.
Wonderful. Now give us the setting of your church. Is it an inner city church?
Well, Brandywine, Maryland is about 20 minutes outside of Washington, D.C.
Oh.
It's kind of squeezed in between Waldorf, Maryland and Washington, D.C. in a community that has been largely a rural farming community. But you're driving down this country road and all of a sudden this magnificent sanctuary comes out of nowhere.
Oh, beautiful. You've got a great looking sanctuary there.
It's a beautiful building.
And now, what's the people? I mean, are they middle class?
They're primarily blue collar.
Blue collar.
And of course, the second and third generation members have grown up, moved into the city, and taken on white collar jobs. But they come back to their home church and support it very well.
Now, do you feel that you're preaching? Are you seeing fruit through your preaching?
Absolutely.
And growth?
Absolutely.
What's happening there?
You know, the most amazing thing is that people are focusing on what it means to be a disciple of Christ. And that's more than just being a church member, because
yes,
it carries with it the responsibility of sharing the gospel in a way that other people feel invited.
Yes, yes. And so you're preaching to the people responsibility as Christians.
Absolutely.
And then they in turn are going out and inviting people to come.
Absolutely. You know, when you've been in a situation like this that's been publicized in the newspaper and there's a lot of talk in the community about the church going downhill, people see the excitement of the regeneration that's occurring. They come to see why we're still there and how we're growing in the midst of all we've been through.
Well, that's an exciting thing, and that's a great witness to the power of God and the power of Christ's love.
Absolutely.
You see a church being resurrected from the ashes.
Literally.
Yes, beautiful. Well, now, we've just begun an interview and our time is up, but will you continue this with me next week?
Absolutely.
And tell us a little more in detail?
Certainly will.
I've had many tears and sorrow. I've had questions for tomorrow. There've been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave me blessed consolation that my trials come to only make me strong. I've been a lot of places, and I've seen millions of faces, but there were times that I felt so all alone. But in my lonely hour, yet those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was his own. That's the reason I say that through it all, Jesus, I've learned to trust in God. Let me tell you that through it all, oh, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. So I thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys, and I thank Him for the storms He's brought me through. Oh, if I'd never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in His word could do. That's the reason I say that through it all, through it all, oh, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Let me tell you, through it all, through it all, oh, I learned to depend upon His word. Oh, let me tell you right now, that through it all, sometimes through the fire, through it all, my Lord, I've learned to trust in Jesus. Oh, I've learned to trust in God. Let's do it all.
depend upon His Word.
That was Andre Crouch singing his song, Through It All. Today's message is entitled, The Power to Love. Here is Methodist Hour speaker, the Reverend John Wolfe.
Thank you very much, Brother Witt. The gospel lesson is John chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. Jesus said, If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither knows him or sees him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me, because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you will be in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Amen. The silence of the darkness was crushed by harsh voices, words of accusation, frightened words, and then words soaked with human tears. Then the noise of words and the breaking of things, returned to silence. As the darkness was straining to give birth to the daylight, Vince loaded the last suitcase and an old box full of papers and pictures of the children to the back of his dew-soaked pickup truck, and then he backed down the long gravel driveway. The sun gave just enough light so he could take another long look at the picturesque sprawling home in the country. He called me that afternoon and wanted to talk. Evening was now consuming the last little bit of daylight when the shiny black pickup came into my driveway. Vince sat sunken down in the old leather chair in my study. We were both silent. He kept stroking his chin as though he was sorting out the words he wanted to say, and finally he leaned back in the chair and he said, John, I guess I just don't love her anymore, and that's why I'm leaving. You know, I'm not sure all that I felt when I heard these words, but I do remember feeling so helpless. Vince worked very hard. His business had been extremely successful. Rumors had been going around that he had had several affairs with women in the community. His wife, Pam, was such a lovely, lovely person. Their home was cozy, and the three children were just delightful. You know, when I first called on Vince and Pam to join the church, many people didn't think it had ever happened. But they did join, and they were faithful and committed to the ministry of the church. And now, sitting in front of me was a man who was tired and who was giving up 12 years of marriage, giving up three children, his church, and all his family stood for in the community. Why? He looked at me and he said, John, I guess I just don't love her anymore. You know, today when I think back on what he said, I realize that their problem was not about love. It was simply that they did not know how to live together. Vince expected his marriage to be a television movie love-like affair. Well, he had the money to buy all the material things. In fact, their home was like a small picture of the old Dynasty program on television. I wish I had known the words of the author M. Scott Peck when I spoke to him then. Scotty said these words. He said, love takes courage and hard work. Vince was counting on feelings just to happen. Well, friends, they don't. Love takes courage and a lot of work. Our lesson today is about the promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has come from God at the request of Jesus. Now, the Greek word for the Holy Spirit is parakletos. Some translations use the word comforter. Others use the word advocate, and still others say counselor. But it's important that you and I look clearly at what Jesus is trying to say about the presence of the Holy Spirit. First, remember that it is often very difficult to translate exactly what a word means from one language to another. You see, the words comforter, advocate, counselor, those are all good words, and yet they are not inclusive enough by themselves. Remember, too, that these words are not just other names for the Holy Spirit. Hear this now. They're not just other names for the Holy Spirit. They are the words that describe the work and the activity of the Holy Spirit. They refer to what the Holy Spirit does, not who He is. The word parakletos is a passive word. It means that the Spirit does not come charging in, but rather the Spirit is an abiding presence. The Holy Spirit gives strength and encouragement. The Holy Spirit gives comfort and intercedes as an advocate in prayer. The Holy Spirit gives us a sensitivity to each other. He gives us a bigger picture of God's world. You see, the Holy Spirit also abides with us in the long, lonely hours of our personal suffering. And by the way, I use the pronoun he for the Holy Spirit in the biblical sense. Certainly the Holy Spirit comes from God and is more than a he or a she, more than we can actually put into words. The Holy Spirit is certainly not an it. Now, did you notice that Jesus did not say that the Holy Spirit would come to condemn you when you're wrong? He did not say that the Holy Spirit would convict you or make you miserable. No, what he said was that the Holy Spirit, his Spirit, would be with you when you have failed or fallen. The Spirit would pray with you when you could not pray. He said that the Spirit would give you strength when yours was exhausted. He would give you the courage when fear has tried to beat you down. Now, you see, that's not what the Holy Spirit is. No, that's what the Holy Spirit does. Without the Holy Spirit, the church would be lame and impotent. Now, I want you to look at the text again. You know, if it was there all of the time, but I just didn't see it. Maybe you saw it already. But did you notice the first verse in our lesson? Hear it again. John 14, verse 15. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Now, his commandments are found in John 15. The commandment is this. Hear the words. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Now, friends, when you consider the impact of both of these verses, it will startle you. Here's what I'm trying to say. When Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments," he says it on the assumption, hear this, he says it on the assumption that you already have the capacity, the responsibility, the right, the privilege, the power, and the desire to do so. And in keeping his commandments, you are thereby authenticating your love for Jesus. You have to really think about how he said that to begin to feel it. He said, "If you love me." Now, I don't know this, but I think someone must have said something like, "Lord, you know we love you, but how are we going to get along with each other if you leave us?" I think Jesus said this. He said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Now, get this. He not only charges them with the task of loving him by keeping his commandments, he said, "And by the way, just in case you need any help with doing my commandments," this is so great, "if you need any help with doing my commandments, I am going to ask God to send you his Holy Spirit, who will give you everything you need for doing it." You see, in marriage, romantic love is a wonderful and intoxicating gift that God gives to us, and it happens in the mysterious chemistry between a man and a woman. Its power is enormous and exotic, but too often it's short-lived. Not short-lived because it's of lesser value, but because it's not prepared for all of the other dimensions of love. Too often, you see, it is the paradigm or model by which we measure love. It is a measurement dependent upon emotions and not decisions. Jesus was about to send those disciples into a harsh world where loving would have to be a choice. It would have to be their choice. A choice to demonstrate the transforming love of God in Christ. You see, he did not offer the Holy Spirit as a weapon to be used on his opponents or to beat up on them, but rather that the Spirit would be a presence within them to increase their capacity to love. And finally, that love would draw others to Jesus. You know, Vince's oldest son drives a dump truck. He works long hours. He's married, but they're separated. His youngest son is in college, and his daughter Karen is divorced. She has a little boy. Pam still lives in the family home in the country. Vince has been married 3 more times. He's currently going through a divorce. My dear brothers and sisters, you know, I cannot help but grieve when I think about this family. You see, because when I had the chance to guide them, I did not have the skill, nor the wisdom, nor the spiritual insight to teach them that love is a choice and not a feeling. For most of us, it takes time and patience and learning new skills and asking for forgiveness and liberally forgiving our partners or those to whom we can minister. We could ask ourselves, can I do it? Well, friends, Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and the Father will send you the one who will really help." Count on the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The Savior is waiting to enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in?
Thank you, John Wolfe, for that message on the power to love. You spoke a great truth when you said that love is not a feeling, it's a choice. Remember that Jesus said,
if you love me, keep my commandments. And the great commandment is you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And we have to choose. We choose to receive the Holy Spirit, who is love. And when our hearts are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, when He possesses us and takes charge of us, then we can love with God's love. And dear listener, that's what the world needs. It needs the touch of God's love. You can love with that love by choice, by choosing to receive the Holy Spirit into your heart and life. May God bless you. Make that choice. Receive Christ as your Savior and Lord, and the Holy Spirit to guide and possess your life. You'll be fulfilled with the wonderful love of God. John Wolfe, I know you've got another message. Share your word with us now.
Thank you very much. You know, most everyone I know can tell you exactly where they were and what they were doing on September the 11th, 2001. I was with our Methodist Hour team, and there were 11 of us in our home doing a project, preparing programs to send out tapes and CDs to, I guess, over 300 people in radio stations. We happened to have the TV on in the kitchen. The news came on, and the very first thought we had was that it was a movie or something. But then you know the rest. Our emotions had fear and sadness and anger and unbelief. And I began to think about it. You know, fear and anger are so powerful because they are an energy in us that wants to do something. Feel sad, but then to hit and to scream, to hurt someone, I mean, it's awful. Based on the fear and bitterness that is prevalent in our country today, I'm afraid that in some ways 9/11 is still very much alive in us. To be sure, what to do about it is just not a simple or easy thing. But you and I can do our part as followers of Jesus just to be part of the healing. You see, every one of us needs to feel safe and loved and accepted and feel like we belong. Unfortunately, the church can be a source of a lot of pain because, you see, often we discount those persons who are different than us. Judy said it so well. She said, John, you know, as long as there is a cross on top of our church or any church, we have no right to exclude anyone. Often, she said, we are the closest thing that even resembles Jesus to someone. And if that fails, then some could be lost forever. Let's pray, friends, that you and I will use our power to love to really change the world. Thank you for connecting with us. Your calls and notes and emails and all of that are so encouraging to us. Our website is MethodistHourInternational.com, MethodistHourInternational.com. Lord bless you and keep you. Amen.
Let us urge you to attend your neighborhood United Methodist Church or the church of your choice, where you will be offered Christ and meaning and joy for your life. Get to know your nearby Christian clergyman. And now until next week, this is your producer and host, Whitney Doe, praying that the good news will always be yours. And may the Lord bless you and keep you.